So let's look at Psalms chapter 85 for just a minute. We'll start in verse number 1. If you don't mind to stand, just out of reverence to God's Word. It says, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, and that God, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met up together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and shall set us in the way of His steps. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You tonight. Father, we desire Your help once again. Father, as we stand, Father, I cannot possibly preach Your Word without Your help. Lord, I can't do this on my own, Father. I've tried it and I've failed, Father. But Lord, I know tonight, God, that if it be Your will, that You'll help us as we stand. Lord, I ask You not only that You'd anoint our mouth, but Lord, that also that, Lord, You would anoint our ears. So not only that we would be, that we would speak Your Word, and Lord, that we would try to preach Your Word, but Lord, that also we could hear Your Word, and Lord, in our heart, that we could be doers of Your Word also. Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You, God. We're so blessed, God. Oh, we could never count or number the ways that You've blessed us or ways that You've loved us. But, Father, we know this. You've been far better than we ever deserve or could ever tell. It's in Your Son's sweet name we pray. And amen and amen. You can be seated. So as David wrote here, we're going to see that revival was something that people have been dealing with the need of way back, thousands of years ago. Back during the time of David, folks needed revival. Since the beginning of time, one of the first instances we see, one of the first stories, true stories in the Bible, you see a man and a woman who fail and get the need of revival. And until God comes back, there will be people who need revival. You may need it. There will be times I need it. There will be times that each and every person sitting in this church tonight will need revival in their life. Four things I look at tonight about the revival, things that we should consider, and very important things that we should consider about revival. First of all, we need to consider that God is the source of revival. David addresses this letter here to the source. You know, if you're writing a letter, if you're wanting to speak to somebody, you're going to address that person, right? I know that now that we have this new age text and all of these different types of messengers out there, that most of the of our messages start with hey, or hey man, or whatever it is. I don't really, the only person I really text that's a woman is my wife and my mom, and if I just said hey to my mom, she would probably show me that I'm not too big to bend over her knee. And half the time, I haven't called Amanda to her face in about 13 years. She's mom. Your kids call her mom, so I call her mom. I haven't been Aaron to her in about 13 years. I'm dad. So it gets really confusing when I get around my parents or she gets around her parents, because she'll say dad and everybody turns around. I'll say mom and everybody turns around. It's really confusing. But we all know how to properly address a letter, right? You address a letter to the person that you're sending it to. David knows how to address a letter, and he knows exactly who can send revival because he starts it out right in verse number 1. The first word in verse number 1 says simply this, Lord. Folks, I know that sounds so simple. But if you are looking for revival, if you are looking for answers, if you are looking for purpose, if you are wanting God to move, the first thing you're going to have to do is go to the source of it. Lord, there is only one that can fix us. There is only one that can revive us, and that is the Lord. We must first address the source of our revival. Go to God. Revival doesn't come from singers. It doesn't matter what song they sing. There are some really beautiful songs. There are songs that are tear-jerkers. There are songs, and back when I sung with my family, we almost had names for certain songs. You would hear certain songs, and when you would go to make an album, you would try to be careful not to put too many of the same type songs on an album because people are going to think, oh, you're just trying to make people cry. Or you're just trying to get people to get excited. And you got to be careful because you had your homecoming style songs, and you had your heaven songs, and you had your blood songs, and you had your tearjerker songs, and you had your fast songs, and you had your clapping songs, and you had all these different type songs. You had to be careful not to put too many on them. There's so many wonderful types of songs. Ralph's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. There's so many types of songs, you got to be careful. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how many songs we sing about revival or how many songs we sing about the blood or how many little red handkerchiefs waves in the air when somebody says blood, it doesn't cause revival. Revival doesn't come from the preacher. Folks, Brother Rick, Brother Steve, myself, we could preach our guts out to you, but that doesn't fix anything that you've got going on. That doesn't revive you. That doesn't do anything for you unless you hear God's Word, you allow God's Word and God's man to speak to you, but it still is not within our power. Doesn't matter what anyone else does, it cannot revive you. Revival doesn't come from a good service. I've known of people that would talk and they would say, you know, I just need one good service to feel the Lord. One specific person that I know of right now, every time I get on the phone with this person, they always tell me, I just want to be in a meeting where I can feel the Lord again. Okay. That's good. I could be in one about every week. But do you really feel like that's the problem? Do you feel like a church that isn't spiritual is a problem? Because if you need a good service to feel the Lord, then maybe you ought to dig a little deeper. If you can't feel the Lord outside of a good service, then I don't think the problem lies right there in the services that you're having, but maybe the relationship that you have. If you wait for God to move in a service through somebody else, maybe there's an issue. If you come into church and because somebody sings a specific song and that song gets you fired up in the house of God, but you can let that same person in your car sing on a CD that same exact song and it doesn't make you just as happy. Maybe problem isn't church services. Maybe it isn't a service or a preacher or a singer that you're looking for. Maybe it isn't a move of God you're looking for. Maybe it's revival that you need. Folks, you can look in all these things, but revival will only come from God. You say, preacher, are you trying to get a revival started? Absolutely not. I'm saying that we come into the house of God feeling defeated. We leave the house of God feeling defeated. And honestly, let's just be honest. Brother Steve, if you let that knee go after a month or so without getting anything done, what kind of shape would you be in? It wouldn't be repairable, would it? Folks, what happens when we let our relationship with God go and go and go? Dare I say, we reach a reprobate mind. What happens when we get to the point to where we have totally and completely took our eyes off of Him? What happens whenever we realize this thing we thought we had, we never really had, and now He's not calling. Now we don't feel bad for it anymore. You know, before you get a little distance from God and at first you kind of felt a little bit bad and maybe you'd have a thought go through your mind, say, oh, I shouldn't think that. Or you'd say something, oh, I shouldn't say that. That's not real nice. And then all of a sudden, those things get thought pretty often. Those things get said pretty often and little actions and little things that we do happen quite a bit and we don't feel as bad about as we used to feel. What happens when we continue to go down that path? All because we refused to look at the fact that we might need revival. We can't let it go. If you're coming into church and you're miserable, if you're miserable in your everyday life, if you feel like God is so far away, folks, maybe, just maybe, we ought to talk to God about it. Maybe, just maybe, we need to go for a checkup. Another thing that we need to consider that's very important when it comes to revival is sometimes Christians just stand in need of it. Let me say this, too. Sometimes for no reason, Christians stand in need of it. Nothing had to happen. I have done this. I have been here, so let me explain this. You can try your best to go back and say, yeah, but at what point did things begin to take that turn for the worse? What happened in my life that made me lose some of my faith? What point was it? What was it that led me to getting to this state where I'm just not where I'm supposed to be? Quit looking. Quit looking. It already happened. You can't fix that. You just need to realize that sometimes you need revival and take the next step forward. Quit letting yourself fall deeper into this hole. Because I'll tell you, if you get into quicksand, you get into quicksand, you just keep standing there waiting and say, well, how in the world did I walk into quicksand? The more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the more you whine about it, the deeper you're going to get, and eventually you're going to get so deep, you're not coming out of the quicksand. When you see an issue, fix it. When your car starts knocking, do you consider oil? When you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you feel a kerthump and one side of the tire or car begins to get a little low and you hear a thud, 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 what do? You pull over, you're probably going to try to change the tire, right? You are not so silly that you would let those things go. But we forsake our eternity by just saying, fix it tomorrow. I'll fix it when the preacher preaches on it, when the singers sing a song that moved me, when I go into a church service, when we schedule revival. Folks, it may not get here. What you're waiting on may never come. You need to take the first step. Sometimes Christians just stand in need of revival. Verses 2 through 5 explains that. He says here, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath, thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? David's concerned here. David sees that there's a problem. David says, we've messed up. God, we've messed up. God, we have fallen. We have made a mistake. We want revival. We want revival. Do you know what would make God angry? The things that disappoint Him. The things that disappoint Him is what makes Him angry. He looks at you and He sees what He's done for you. He sees the blood that was shed. He knows that salvation has been given to you. He knows that when you bowed your head and you came with a contrite heart and a broken spirit, He knows that He gave you what you were looking for and made eternity so sweet for you, but then you forsake Him. And how simple it is. That's what makes God angry. We disappoint Him. But folks, I'll be honest. I was a disappointment to my parents quite often. They never stopped loving me. There are times that my children disappoint me. That doesn't make me love them less. Sometimes they don't bring home the grades that I expect. Sometimes they don't communicate with each other or me and their mama like I expect them to. Sometimes they don't do the things that I'm expecting them to do. And that disappoints me. But you know what? All they have to do is fix it. That doesn't make me love them any less. That doesn't make me care for them any less. That doesn't make me say, okay, you can go hungry tonight. Or okay, tomorrow you don't get to wear the warm clothes. Or okay, that's fine, but tonight you don't get a bed to sleep in. No, it doesn't. Because I still care about them. I still love them. I still want to provide for them. And it seems so odd to me that we would ever forsake a God that even when we're messing up and disappointing Him, He still wants to love and care and provide for us. So maybe we just need revival. When your fire is beginning to burn low, when your fire is beginning to burn low, maybe you just need revival. When you're not as excited about church as you used to be, maybe you just need revival. Sometimes we just ain't excited about going to church. There's times where we just, let's face it, let's just call it like it is, okay? How many of you were here this morning? Let's raise our hands. Do you notice the people that were sitting around you that ain't here tonight? Some folks just ain't excited about being in God's house. That's just how it is. Maybe they need revival. Maybe they need revival in their hearts. You say, preacher, I can't believe you would say that. You don't know what they're dealing with. You're exactly right. That's why I say maybe. We don't know what they're dealing with. We don't know where they're at necessarily. But those of them that are kicked back on the couch and they're watching the television because their favorite team starts in a little while or has been playing, I sure hope the Cowboys play good in heaven. Oh, wait. I don't think that's how it works. I don't think that's how it works. Say, preacher, are you saying I shouldn't be a football fan? Absolutely not. I'm saying you should be a Cowboys fan. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. My wife's a Cowboys fan. That's why I had to go on that little tangent there. She don't know football. She don't know good football. But when we get excited about everything but the house of God, that's a problem. That's a problem. That is unhealthy. When things become more important than God, I'm not praying anymore. I'm not studying anymore. My Bible only gets open on Sundays. And it only gets open on Sundays whenever the preacher's preaching. And I don't know why I open it. Here, let's get real honest, okay? I don't even know why I open my Bible on Sundays, because he reads the scripture anyway. You can always do like I used to do and misquote scriptures on purpose to see if anybody catches it and then say, shame on you. I was mean. Pastor Rick ain't like that. I was mean. But so many times we get to this point where God's on the back burner. We know he's still there, and it's like, hey, when things start going wrong, life starts messing up, I'm going to pray. Until then, we're kind of moving along. We're sailing. We're making it. It's okay. What happens when making it begins to gradually go downhill? What happens when making it becomes a valley? What happens when you hit rock bottom and you begin to pray and you can't even get it out of your mouth? So then you have to resort to people praying for you. Don't get there. Just don't get there. We need revival when we hit this point. When you become indifferent with God. Now I'm going to get really honest with you. So a few years ago, I got a little indifferent with God because we were taking Savannah to Knoxville, and they said she needed kidney surgery, and me and Amanda both were convinced, no, God's going to heal her, he's going to bless, she's going to be just fine. Everything's going to work out all right. So we took her down there, she needs surgery, whatever you say. God's going to take care of this. Okay, well, come back, and we'll check her again in a little while. Cool, because everything's going to be fine. When we leave, we come back in a few months, and we can already hear him saying, hey, the issue's gone. She's fine. She doesn't need surgery. And all of a sudden he says, nope, she needs surgery. Seriously? He says, yeah, and actually, I'm going to be honest with you. If you guys are going to be this stubborn and not allow this child to have surgery, I'm not going to see her anymore. Are you serious? Why don't you just let God do his thing? He says, here's the deal. I'm really good at what I do. I'm going to take care of your daughter if you will let me. But she's going to have to have surgery. Well, then I became indifferent with God. God, why didn't you heal her? What is wrong with you? I had so much faith. I knew that you were going to take care of it, and now you've let me down. I had started giving you glory before you even took care of the problem, and now you've not taken care of the problem. We're going to have to let a surgeon take care of it. Well, then the worst part is I get on the phone on my way home from Knoxville with a person whom I had absolutely zero confidence in their faith. And I said, yeah, so that's just the way it is. I guess ain't much we can do about that. And they say, well, you know, God has different ways of healing. Sometimes he does it miraculously, and sometimes he uses other people to do it. Oh, but now don't think that a light went off in my head and that made everything okay. I was still mad at God. So a few years later, Eli gets sick. And actually, how many years ago was it, Amanda, when he got out of the hospital? 3 years ago, this past week, Eli spent some time in Children's Hospital. We go in Children's Hospital, we have no idea what's wrong with him. We take him to the doctors say, hey, don't really know, you know, don't really know what's going on with him. We're going to send him to Children's Hospital. They'll figure it out. Days in the Children's Hospital goes by, and all of a sudden he develops pneumonia. So they say, oh, it was pneumonia. We'll just send him home. Little did we know there was legalities there of why they needed to send him home when he developed pneumonia in the hospital. So they sent him on his way. They sent him home, and he's still sick. He's still running a fever. There's still something very badly wrong with him. This child goes 8 weeks without ever getting a diagnosis. He ends up with an extreme immune deficiency and couldn't go to school. We tried living off of almost no income for a little while because we didn't know what to do. I was a little indifferent with God. Now today I look back. Savannah's kidneys are fine. I look back and Eli's doing good. In fact, I've seen God work in his life in so many ways. First that comes along, and then we find out he has a heart condition that they're wanting to do surgery on him. All he cared about in life was sports. Can't ever play sports again in your life. To suddenly we take him to the cardiologist just to hear the normal, same old junk we always hear, and the doctor says, you know what? He's doing really good. He can play whatever he wants to play. And now he's wearing us out at basketball now because football and baseball wasn't enough. And you know what? He can wear me out with it. Because God's blessed. And through all of that time that I was so indifferent with God, he was still faithful. And he still provided. And he still loved me. And whenever it was all over with, I needed revival. And I went. I'll just be honest, I went begging. I went begging because I had been so angry with God and I had fallen so far away from God that I wondered, is this even going to work? And just like that prodigal son that went crawling back home, my heavenly Father said, come on, son, you can eat from the good table. Because he loves me. But sometimes we need revival. Sometimes we need revival. There are going to be times in your life where that you're going to be very indifferent with God, where God's not going to be very important to you, where your fire is burning low and where you're not as excited about it, church, as you ought to be. That's when a Christian stands in need of revival. Number three, another important thing we need to remember about revival and need to consider this, confession is the only way of it. You're not going to get by and get revival that you're looking for by just going to God and saying, hey, God, I need you to fix me. Thanks. No. No, it don't work that way. I tried that. It didn't work. This seems to be the hardest part of it. Who wants to admit when you're wrong? Who wants to admit, hey, I messed up. I moved. It wasn't you, it was me. Who wants to admit, hey, I am the reason I'm dealing with the problems I'm dealing with? Very familiar scripture. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, what comes next? and turn. So there has to be change from their wicked ways. Then, notice that there's an order of operations. Then will I hear from heaven and will ignore and forgive their sin and will heal their land. He doesn't say, then will I ignore from heaven. He says, then will I hear from heaven. But it takes some work. We have to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our ways. Folks, if there is a problem, until you change that, it's not going to change anything. If there is an issue in your life, until you fix it, you're not going to get revival. You're not going to get closer to God. If there is outstanding sin in your life, if there is some indifference between you and God, if there is an issue that you have with God, until you fix it, you are not going to get what you're looking for. Period. It's not going to happen. Confession is the only way of it. We cannot be revived if we're stubborn. That's stubborn. I think right beside a stubborn in the Webster's Dictionary is a picture of me. Actually, all three of these I'm going to say here, I believe there's a picture of me right beside of them. I'm in the dictionary a lot. Not usually in good ways. But I'm in the dictionary a lot, I believe. Or at least if I'm not, I feel like I ought to be. We get stubborn. We get very stubborn. God, if you had done this. God, if you would just do this. Who are we to give God an ultimatum? Who are we? We cannot be revived if we're selfish. So many times we get so selfish with God. Well, He blessed me here, so why can't He hear? He's doing such and such for so and so, so why can't He do it for me? We get selfish, and then we become indifferent. Then there becomes distance, and then we're in need of revival. If you're selfish, God's not going to revive you because you're not allowing God to revive you. I'm not telling you all this to say, God is punishing me for being like this. No, I'm saying you're punishing you. Because you've got to get all this out of the way and make room for God. Because you've got all this junk in your life and God says, there's not room for me. Why would I just force myself in? Because if they want selfishness and if they want stubbornness and they want indifference and they want all these other things that are more important to them than me, if they want that, then why should I force myself on them? So we're punishing ourselves here. We cannot be revived if we're self-absorbed. We are so self-absorbed, especially in this time. In this time, we are so self-absorbed. You say, preacher, how do you know? I know because I'm Facebook friends with a lot of you, and you're Facebook friends with a lot of me. You say, preacher, how do you know that we're self-absorbed? Because we do a really good job at taking care of ourselves. And sometimes we forsake taking care of things with God. We're self-absorbed. I'm self-absorbed. Sometimes I'm so full of me, I don't leave enough room for God. That's a problem. It's when we need revival. Confession is the way of it. Finally, we look at this. If we want to find revival, let's look at verse number 6. It says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? If we're looking at revival, if we want to be revived, then we're seeking what it says there at the end, thy people may rejoice in thee. Folks, we have stolen our own joy sometimes. We have hurt ourselves. We have caused ourselves to be here. You say, well, preacher, your message tonight's a lot different than it was this morning. Let me tell you why, because I need to hear this. If it's not hitting you, it's hitting me. Okay? I believe that scriptures like this, that messages like this, have a habit of ricocheting all over the place. I believe sometimes it hits us all in different ways. Some of us get mad. Some of us get fixed. Some of us just get a little colder, a little more indifferent. But if we want to rejoice, and rejoicing, that's my final point, rejoicing is the result of it. If we want to find joy and we want to rejoice in the Lord, then we're going to have revival. Period. God is the source of revival. Christians stand in need of revival. Confession is the way of revival. And rejoicing is the result of revival. That's my outline. That's it right there. Simply put, you're not going to be happy in a desolate state. When it's dead around you, when you've allowed nothing but darkness and death, and you're just a dreary person, and you can't find any love in your heart, and you won't even look for peace, and you won't look for God, and you don't even try to find where God's been so good, then you are going to be dead inside, and you will not find joy. You won't find joy until you experience revival. You must be determined to find revival. There has to come a point in your life where you say, I'm done with this. I don't want to feel like this anymore. I am going to get where I need to be. I'm going to be revived. You have to make this decision for yourself. God is not going to force himself on you. The singers cannot force revival on you. The preacher cannot preach revival on you. It cannot happen unless you decide for yourself, I am looking for revival, and let it begin in me. You must have a desire to be revived. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Look at the term, a desire to be revived. That means you have to have a desire for things to change, because obviously the path you're on ain't working. You have to have a desire for things to change. You have to be determined to find revival. And lastly, you have to be devoted to living for God. If you want to find revival, you've got to do this. So, preacher, it doesn't sound like it's all that wonderful, it's all that grand. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like living for God. Period. There's nothing like living for God. There's nothing like living for God when you're where you need to be with God. But there is nothing more miserable than feeling like you live for God, but feeling like God is so far away. You say, well, that makes me feel awful. You're in a good place to fix it tonight. You're in a good place to fix it. I'd like to ask a sister to come up and play a little bit on the piano. Brother Ralph, if you want to find a song of invitation. I don't know why God plans things the way he does. He wants to give us encouragement, and then he wants to kind of speak to us in a different way the next service. And he wants to call us to revival. He wants to make us feel good. And there's so many different things that God can make us feel, but, you know, to be honest, I can find solace in this. Because this tells me that if you are upset, if you are indifferent with God, if you are in the need of revival, then hope isn't lost. There's a chance, because your heart is still beating. There is still breath in your lungs. There is life in your body. So that means that there's a God that can revive you. I'll just be honest, I need revival sometimes. And you can say, well, preacher, this isn't the kind of thing that we like to hear all the time. No, but you know what? There may be somebody here that needs it. And I'm going to promise you tonight, if you will come, and you will come with the right heart and the right mind, and you'll seek his will, if you'll seek his face, then I'll promise you, revival's good. If everybody would, stand and bow your head for just a moment.